than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, hey, it's a little early, don't you think? Hearing Josh and I on the call, it's not Purple Friday. What is it, a Purple Wednesday? Yeah, that's right. The Ravens are up against the Miami Dolphins in Florida on Thursday Night Football. The Ravens once again in primetime under the lights. Joining me as always to talk all about everything going on in the Ravens, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing great, man. Especially after that wonderful drama-filled win. Took it down to the wire again. Another comeback win for the Ravens. We have four come-from-behind wins this year of the six. Three out of four double digits. Impressive. We understand the Ravens have flaws, and we'll certainly break it all down. But, bro, what a great atmosphere, obviously, with the enemy fans. The Vikings, it was really hard to tell the purple enemy from the friendlies, because everybody was in purple yesterday. It was awesome. Great atmosphere. What a win. What a win for the Ravens to get to 6-2, man. That's great.
The Ravens, they are winning. You can never count them out. But you know what? I love my Ravens. I love Lamar. I love Coach Harbaugh. I love Justin Tucker. I love this team. I love my city. But man, I don't know if my heart can take this anymore. These games are coming down to the wire. They're edge of your seat every single week. My God.
But that's entertainment, man. It's the entertainment value.
100%. I love it. Come on, but, man. But my God, I'm so tired.
So does that mean you had to reach out to the old doc and get some heart medication? You all right, bud? You're going to make it? You better make the whole season. Because I don't have to look for a new co-host, man. No one can fill your shoes. First off, you do all the heavy lifting. By the way, not to reveal the secrets, but this guy puts on the production. He does all the editing. I need to really show my appreciation for what he does, because I always said, I want to contribute, but I can't, because obviously I'm here, you're there. He does all the heavy lifting. So that's why I was like, if you don't make it with your heart, man, I don't know who's going to put this production together. We have to reach out to Dan and do double duty. What the puck and the call at the same time kind of deal. I don't know. But I don't know what we would do without you.
I appreciate that, but I think everybody, every single morning after a Ravens game, I think if you're a doctor in the Baltimore area, you're doing great, because you have everybody calling you up Monday going, I need something, doc. I don't feel good. My chest hurts. My throat hurts.
I usually just drink a coffee to relax.
To relax. That's usually to get you awake, but you do it to relax. All right.
I has the adverse effect on me, but that's besides the point. Love my coffee, but it's just like a good cigar, it relaxes.
But hey, you can never count this team out. No. Never. It always is down to the wire, but I mean, you were there. I was watching on TV this week. Another Ravens win, come from behind win, which if you remember when Lamar started, it was always, he can't win from behind. He can't come from behind. He's always got to get all the points at the beginning and then just hold on to that. But this team, like you said, not perfect. It wasn't a plus game, but the Ravens, they find ways to win. I mean, you can't bet against them. You just can't. They always seem to find a way to win.
Right, they do. And no matter what, you can't count them out. You know, down 12, 14, 18, 19. You know, it's like let's just raise the bar. Why don't we get down 25 points? Why don't we get down, 30-10? Or why don't we get down 40-10? See what happens. I'd rather not. But you had to feel – I tell you what, the feeling in the stands, man, when – everybody, I mean, halftime, everybody's out scurrying, doing the restroom bit, doing the food run, drink runs. and you're barely in your seats. They kick off the ball. And it was kind of like at that point, you know, it reminded me of, and I don't want to compare the game, but it reminded me similar of 2012 playoffs, no weapon, right? Like the whole no weapon cry for Ray and all that.
Right.
Because it's like you just pulled the game back, right? The Ravens got out to 3-0 lead. And of course, the Vikings scored 2 touchdowns out of 14-3. And then the Ravens pulled it. And of course, it was 17-3. And then the Ravens pulled it within 10 right at the end of the half. You're like, okay, great. One score game. They got the drive. Devonta Freeman touchdown. Let's go, right? Like, okay, the Ravens have life. They're down a score. Respectable. And we were getting concerned because obviously when the Vikings are driving, they kicked that 3 late. It was like they can't score because they get the ball back at half. Then they take the kickoff run all the way back. You're like, it reminded me of that 2012 playoff game where they just like the opening half kickoff got ran back. And you're like, just like, there he goes. Like, now it's 24-10. Now it's like, they're like, after that happened, Brandon, I slumped down in my seat, put my hands in my hoodie pocket, and I just sat there and was just like shaking my head, like, really? Like, come on, man. We were all feeling great. You know, make the adjustments, get out, and then special teams just let us down. So at that point, we were a little bit concerned, right? The offense only produced 10 points, and they got those that 7 points late, right, of the late surge in the first half. The defense letting us down with big plays and all that. They gave up 17 points prior to that, and special teams gave up 7. And then now the fastest special teams gave up that portion. So it was like, and the guy behind me, we were talking, I was like, he's right. He's like, right now this team is not playing well in all three facets of the game, and it spells trouble. I'm like, I don't know, man. And then for some reason, the Ravens turned around, right? They put the clamps down. They scored 21 unanswered points up until the point where the Vikings, right at the last minute of the game in regulation, scored. So the Ravens, they gave up the special team touchdown, and for basically virtually – barely 2 quarters, just about, they kept the Vikings in check. So you have to get credit to that. You know, they kind of clamped down and made some adjustments, and the offense made some adjustments. And then overtime was a battle. You know, the Ravens, between the end of regulation and overtime, they had 3 drives that got them in field. And it was like 2 of those drives, it was like they get there, and then you had a penalty, or they got in field goal range, and then they got themselves out. And it was just like a give and take, like, will they get it done? There was a great 3-and-out by the defense, forced on, you know, the Vikings. They forced the Vikings in 3-and-out in overtime. But I'm going to go back to regulation, one of the turning points in the game, man. We talked about time of possession a lot here, and that's a recipe for success, right? Remember the Chargers game. They dominated 2-1 in that regard, held the ball for, you know, virtually 40 to 60 minutes of that football game. The Ravens apparently at one point in this game had a 10-minute-plus drive.
Right,
it was dubbed as the longest drive of any team this year in the NFL.
Yeah, that was in the fourth quarter. They were they commanded the ball.
That, and that's the recipe for success. Not only that, but they scored the go-ahead touchdown with that, if I recall. Right. You know, Le'Veon Bell found his way in the end zone. And by the way, with this running attack, and we get it, you know, we understand that these guys are journeymen. You know, they're well beyond their years at this point, but Le'Veon Bell ran as hard as I've seen him in a Ravens uniform. Not only that, but Devonta Freeman did too as well. Freeman had the touchdown catch. He had a great first down run on the right side of the field. Le'Veon Bell was actually getting the carries at the end of the game to convert the first downs in overtime to get that win. And obviously he got the go-ahead touchdown, and what it was the go-ahead touchdown at the time in regulation. So he's coming to his own. He's not the same. We didn't understand these guards got the same runners they were. I really, really was excited to get him. And how about the team in general? Project Pat getting involved, man. Pat Ricard was actually praised on NFL Network this morning with his, you know, catch and run and knocking people over, and like, and the utilization of him in the passing game, right? You know, throwing in the screen passes and getting him out in the flat space. You have a 300-pound monster running in free space. That's ridiculous, man. And you look at Lamar threw another 3 touchdowns. We know he had a couple picks. The one was a bad read and one got tipped, and it was dire straits. If I recall, Anthony Barr did it in overtime. So we were concerned because it was the first possession overtime. The Ravens won the coin toss. If they scored a touchdown, they won. It was a tip ball right the line. Anthony Barr tipped it to himself. So Lamar's mistakes, even though we understand they can happen, look at Lamar's 3 touchdowns. They didn't go to Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman, or Mark Andrews. Devonta Freeman, and Devin Duvernay, and Pat Ricard caught 3 touchdown passes for Lamar. So you're like, you look at that, man, and I that to me speaks dangerous, because it's like the three more prolific pass catchers, not to discount anybody on the teams, they're all contributing, but on paper, we get it. You know, Marquise Brown, Rashad Bateman, and Mark Andrews are the stars of the passing game, and it goes without saying. And neither of them caught a touchdown, and then Le'Veon Bell ran it in. So it's like, you know, to get, and those guys contributed in major other ways, like converting first downs, you know, catching balls, and obviously Marquise Brown had a great day at the office, you know, targeted a lot, had over 100 yards. Bateman continues to be a beast. I don't know if you saw the stat, Rashad Bateman, his first 10 catches in the NFL went for first downs. The dude is a possession monster receiver, and I feel like he's just getting started scratching the surface. He's getting heavily involved, man.
This is the best performance he's had yet this season. He has looked absolutely fantastic against the
Vikings. How about the catch? When Lamar's running towards the sideline and Lamar threw did a jump pass, and I kind of was just like, what are you doing? Because of my vantage point, it looked like he's going to be intercepted or at least batted down. And all of a sudden, Bateman came up, and I looked around. I'm like, did he catch that? It was the same reaction I had when Duvernay's touchdown. I was like, did he really catch that? Like, these guys are making plays. And it's guys that you don't expect. And that's what's really exciting and surprising about this Ravens team. Other players are stepping up and making plays. You know, for all the talk out there, and we get money's a problem in the cap space, but you know, you heard it, right? You know, Odell Beckham gets released from the Browns. Ravens signed Odell Beckham, man. We need that playmaker. I'm like, we're happy with the guys we got. And it showed. Like, look at Duvernay making a 2-drag swag catch, which obviously won honors on Good Morning Football, man. And you know, the guys are here making plays, and it's everybody else contributing. The other three caught touchdowns, the cash in, but as a collective, Andrews, Bateman, and Brown were really getting it done. And, you know, I was really impressed with the Ravens actually utilizing Marquise Brown correctly. Not that he was underutilized, but that 3rd and 15, when he threw the screen pass, I actually was just like, I had my hand on my head, like, no, like, because I'm like, that's not going to convert. He's going to get snuffed out. I was actually upset the Ravens until he converted, because I'm like, throw the ball down the field, right? Like, you can't get a first down with that. And then he runs the space and gets 18 yards. I'm like, okay, bud, I just got proved wrong. And when I look back at the breaking it down and looking at the highlights, Brandon, they're using, and I heard the comparison of how Marquise Brown and Tyreek Hill are the same player, like getting out space. They got Marquise out in space. They're putting the players in the best position to use their skills. Like, you know, Bateman's that, you know, middle of the field possession receiver working the field. Andrews can go inside and out, you know, catching the ball. You know, Marquise Brown's catching it in space. You know, they're getting the ball to these playmakers and putting him in the best position to win. I mean, Marquise Brown had a great comeback to the ball, and he came back to it. I'm like, the route running in this game was crisp. The catches were crisp. I've hardly seen any drops, but we know the weak spots on this team, and we can say, goes without saying, the reason why Lamar ran a lot, and he did for a run for another 100 yards. The problem with that was the offensive line. He had barely enough time. Let's focus on that. I mean, you know, the run blocking to me was way better than the passing team. But like, there was times where I actually watched Lamar live, go back to pass and plant his foot. At the same time, I'm looking at the receivers and their defensive scheme for the Vikings. Number one, the receivers are blanketed, but then you look at Lamar, as soon as he plants, he can't look because the pocket's collapsing and he's either going to take the sack or he's running out of that, getting avoiding it. So it's like, you know, everybody's getting frustrated in the game. Why is Lamar running it a lot? I'm like, do you really not see what's going on? Like, he barely has time to throw, dude. Like, if it was, you know, even put Joe back there, you know, or Tom Brady or Peyton, any pocket passer, there's probably going to be 6, 7, 8 sacks on him all day. Lamar got out of it more times than not, made positive yardage, and it was getting snuffed out a little bit. But that's concerning to me, because we know that's not a recipe for long-term success, and we don't want Lamar running it like that. But, you know, the dude's a young athlete, and as he gets older, it's going to take a lot out of him because we need him to pass more than run, right? But, you know, all in all, the offensive line for pass blocking has certainly got to get better for Lamar to get a cleaner pocket. Yeah. Absolutely got to get better. I mean, they're fortunate right now, we understand, to be 6-2, and it's not by accident. I mean, they did come from behind in a lot of these games, and they made the plays. It wasn't, I don't say anything at this point, seeing how they played, and we got 8 games, 9 weeks with a bye week to assess them. That game that coming down in early in the third quarter, 24-10, that whole wasn't by accident. They didn't get lucky on fluke plays or anything like that. They did the work, And I have to be impressed, but I really want to focus on that. And then, of course, the 32nd ranked pass defense, man. Pass defense has got to get sharper, you would think, and we get it right. They're out Marcus Peters. Now, the Joker went down for the year. I feel bad for Deshaun Elliott, man. Another one hits the IR with an injury, and everybody's got to step up, you know, again, and we're going to miss that. But, you know, in looking at this game, a few big plays did hurt the Ravens early on, and it was kind of like the way it was going, I was nearing it to the Cincinnati game. Like, yeah, 2 weeks to prepare. Remember, it was the first series. It was third, you know, third down. He throws the long pass to, you know, where Dalvin Cook ran that long pass with third and one, and he ran 66 yards all the way down the field. Great cutback run all the way across the field. And then, of course, Justin Jefferson took the top over the secondary and got the long 50-yard touchdown. So the big plays were killing the Ravens, man. But I don't know about you, but the Ravens – they made the adjustments they needed. If you look at – I'm pulling up the stats here, and this is where I want to focus on. The adjustments that the Ravens defense made, and, of course, no goes without saying, I actually had Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook on the same team, on my fantasy team. So, again, when he caught the touchdown pass, I kind of was secretly like, I like those points, but, you know, I want my Ravens to win. But here's the stat line for Justin Jefferson. He was targeted 5 times. He had 3 catches for 69 yards and a touchdown. 51 catch, 50 yards, and a touchdown came on one play. So what does that mean? He caught 2 catches for 19 yards the rest of the game. And, of course, the one ended up being the costly third down conversion or fourth down conversion at 4th and 9 at the end of regulation to get him in position to score. But Justin Jefferson was kept in check after that, right? Let's also pull up Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook had 110 yards rushing. One rush for 66 yards. What did he do the rest of the game? 44. And he had a touchdown taken away because it was just barely on the goal line. And then obviously Kirk Cousins got the quarterback sneak over the top. So apart from two big plays, Brandon, these two dynamic duo on the Vikings and their two-star playmakers, they were kept in check the rest of the game. So you have to give credit where credit is due. That was impressive to me. And that kind of really helped, you know, kind of solidify the game plan going forward and allow the offense to get back in the game, because the Vikings didn't score an offensive touchdown until late in the fourth after that. So you had to be impressive on what you saw there.
This team, I like you said, I really enjoy the fact that you brought up that they made some changes, because we've been doing this podcast for how many years now, and that's always been something that we talked about. But have we ever brought up Patrick Ricard on this podcast? I mean, it's very rare that we mention his name, if ever. So the fact that the Ravens were able to look at the game plan, realize what was working and what wasn't, and then they brought Patrick Ricard in the mix, and Patrick Ricard really did make a splash in this game. I don't know if we're talking about a Ravens win if he wasn't on this team, but they were able to utilize him. I don't think we've ever brought him up, especially this season or the season before. And that's not saying anything bad about him. He's probably the reason we're not bringing him up is because he's doing his job. But they used him and utilized him exactly the way that you want to see a fullback used in this game. So I think that really turned the tide of what happened here. And last week, you and I were bringing up, who do we want to have Marlon Humphrey cover against the Vikings? And I think this game really showed that Marlon Humphrey is human. He can't cover everyone. And this team is 100% missing Marcus Peters. I think that was most evident this week, maybe against the Bengals as well, as when it was most evident. But this defense is put together with duct tape and bubble gum. Right now, they're barely being held together. And like you said, we just lost to Sean Elliott. We were talking about potentially meeting him at a meet and greet tonight. And he, of course, is off having surgery now, so he wouldn't have been able to make it anyway. So this team is not a work in progress, but it is one where they are having that every next man up mentality, and it's still working. I mean, that's a crazy thing. It's still working right now.
Right. It'd be one thing if they were losing in this regard and you're like, well, that's why. But they're winning despite all that. And again, we understand you can't replace the players that have been hurt, right? You know, Deshaun Elliott getting hurt recently. But, you know, it's a collective, and Harbaugh alluded to that. Like, the guy's got to step up, and he's confident in his players. And that we understand Trey Boston's name came up. He's out there available. We'll see what happens in the interim with that time being. But I want to go back to something you alluded to and saying, like, Marlon Humphrey is human. It's hard to, obviously, being on the podcast, share video. But if you didn't catch the breakdown, how Mark Slayer was breaking down the game, and I got wind of video of context to what happened in that play. So the best way I can summarize it with recalling the video without playing the audio on air is Deshaun Elliott, right before the snap, you see Justin Jefferson lined up when the right side, if you're looking at the Ravens defense, left side, if you're looking at the Vikings perspective, because we understand where Deshaun was lined up and where Marlon Humphrey was. They were showing how Deshaun Elliott was signaling, turning around and signaling to Marlon Humphrey, and the way his hand signals were, he was basically signaling to Marlon Humphrey to cover the out route, because at that time it was third and long, right? I believe. So he wanted Marlon to cover the out route for that reason, you know. And I can't remember who made the video. It mentioned Mark Slayer, but I don't know if Mark Slayer has actually broken down the video or if he called the game for the Ravens. Obviously, being I was at the game, I'm not sure. But the context of the video, whoever's breaking down, showed that he explained that somehow the Vikings knew that. It got wind of that. They may be called a hot route, or who knows. But they said, as you see Deshaun Elliott, he started covering the middle of the field, let Marlon go. And granted, we know there should have been safety help over the top in that regard, because if Marlon was going to release, because at first there was two things I saw in the play live. I was thinking, oh, Marlon just got beat, you know, and he just got ran by Justin Jefferson, who's a great athlete, right? And I'm like, then second off, I'm like, well, maybe Marlon released him and he thought he had safety help and there was nobody there, because I saw in the footage of the highlights, he said Marlon Humphrey looked pissed and he was looking around for answers. But going back to the context of the video, they said Marlon was in a position and a way to defend the out route with Justin Jefferson. So when Justin got to the point of where he wanted to maneuver, you can see Justin kind of do that hitch a little bit to like, kind of like, oh, I'm going out towards the sideline. And then he bolts into towards the middle of the field and runs right by Marlon. And Marlon's body was turned in a way, Brandon, where, you know, he was kind of like, I'm going to defend between him and the sideline. So it could have been a combination of that, but it was kind of Deshaun Elliott was calling out that. And I think to the Vikings' credit, they called a hot route and said no, because apparently, no, Justin Jefferson ran a seam route, but he did that little hitch. And for all those who want to see it after the show, I'd be more than happy to post the link on the call Facebook page. I know I retweeted and shared it on Twitter, but it can get lost in translation there. So I'm going to post the link for those who want to see that video. It's well explained. So when you find those kind of like nuances and context to things, it kind of better explains maybe what happened. And it gives you like an inside perspective during a game of like something you might not have seen. Cause like live, I'm like you said, like Marlon got beat. He's human. He keeps getting beat. Like he let Jamar Chase, he just let, and that's where we're getting upset. He was like, I got to play better. You had a bye week to work on it. You just let up 200 yards receiving when you were covering receivers against the Bengals. Jamar Chase ran right by you. And then now you let Justin Jefferson, and we talked about it. Remember on the show, the preview, I was like, Jamar Chase was a problem. Now they got to handle Justin Jefferson, and they were on the same LSU team. Like they're dynamic receivers, and you got to pay attention. But you, again, going back off of that, Jefferson got his touchdown early, was never pretty much heard of again until he caught. I pretty much didn't really hear his name until he caught the fourth down conversion late in the game. And then Dalvin Cook ran that long run early and you barely heard his name. So it was like, you got to credit the Ravens with two big plays out somehow, but big pass, the big run and pass plays or big plays in general are a huge concern going forward if they want to really be successful building, because the road does get tougher here. We understand they got the Dolphins and the Bears. It's any given Sunday, Monday, Thursdays. We've seen the NFL. I mean, I don't know about you, but did you see the scores this past weekend?
I did so bad in my pick'em league, dude, this past week.
I lost. I picked the Bills. Which was, hey, and after the fact it happened, I'm like, I actually was excited to see that. But because there's no real clear front runner. And looking at the Ravens concerned, I said it earlier today, the Ravens got, in my book, are the top team in the AFC. I don't care what, you know, the Titans got the 7-2 record. I get it. Right. But and that's impressive beyond the least, because they used defense to beat the Rams at their own game. That was impressive. But the Ravens haven't lost to an inferior team. You look at the Bills, they lost to Jaguars. You look at the Titans did lose to the Jets, and so did the Bengals. So the right. Jets' two wins are against those two top teams. The Steelers, I know they're finding the stride. They did start 1-3. you know, the Ravens, yeah, again, they lost to the Raiders in week one when everybody was 0-0, but the Raiders have a winning record, you know, right now. So, and they just got beat, I believe. Yeah, they just got beat. So by the Giants. So, I mean, and you look at the, in the Cowboys, the NFC, who just saw a 30-0 score posted by the Broncos until the Cowboys scored two garbage time touchdowns. And then you just look at the games and you're just like, and apart from Mike White being hurt on Thursday night against the Colts, which was a rout, I think the Jets probably could have kept that close, maybe even pulled off with Mike White. Mike White led out with 90 yards and a touchdown right off the bat before he got hurt on that same drive. He actually got hurt on the touchdown pass, believe it or not. So, you know, to me, looking at the Ravens, they lost to what was then a 5-4-2 Bengals team. If I remember so correctly, because I think they were 5-2. Yeah, because they were 5-2 after they beat us and they lost two straight. Browns absolutely embarrassed them. Looking at the state of the AFC in total, and I mean, our division is self-specific division of football with the records being so close, and we have five games against the division left out of the nine that we have, so it's going to be awesome. But, you know, the Ravens had their hands full, and I just feel like they got to really focus on that pass blocking and the big plays. But, you know, the B 6-2 right now, I don't think it's an accident because we covered it. You know, their two losses are pretty – and, again, they could have had the overtime game in week one. They could have. So they have two decisive wins against Denver and the Chargers. You know, their four comeback wins are impressive. You know, I don't care if you want to throw luck in there, but it happened. You know, 66-yard field goal. We understand miracles sometimes happen. It happened in Super Bowl year. They converted a 4th-and-29, a Mahi miracle play. Some of these very, very, you know, very low percentage improbable plays, but it happened. So you can roll a little bit luck, but what team doesn't get lucky in some of these wins and seasons? I mean, a lot of skill goes into it, but there is some luck involved. Has to be somewhere. But all in all, going forward, the road gets tougher. They have a couple games here that can really get through. But looking at the landscape of this last homestand, they play football virtually a whole month at home.
Right.
Remember what I reverted back to, the records? You know, I kind of said, like, obviously, they would lose to the Chargers and then win the rest of three games. 3-1 as they stand in that homestand, except they traded the wins and loss with the Chargers and Bengals. I'm okay with that. But you have to say this homestand was very impressive to be 6-2 where they're standing right now.
Yeah, big time. I thought they were going to go 2-2 at home, so it's a better record than I was predicting. I love to see that. This team, you can't take it away from them. They're working hard. They are getting things done. No one can take that away from them. This is a scary team to face because you can never count them out. Minnesota, all intents and purposes, the Vikings could have left Baltimore with a W. They played really hard as well, but they got to overtime, and they had one of the worst drives probably of their year, and they just let this game slip out of their fingers, and the Ravens capitalized on that. That's what winners do. So, I mean, they are going neck and neck with every team they're up against. And like you said, you know, that Raiders game, that overtime game, they are one play away from a win that week. So, They're sticking with it. They're doing the thing. I mean, they got to do everything they can to win, and they are working hard. They're doing it. This is a hard working group. Now, one of the things, I don't know, Josh, did you get a chance to watch the game on like the TV broadcast version yet? Because I know we're going early this week.
Here's something I have to admit. I had to watch the full highlights on the Ravens app. This was one of the first home games that I forgot to record that I go to and record on DVR. And I realized it halfway through the game. And I'm like, I could have set my DVR through my phone for technology, but I'm like, why am I going to record half the game? So,
right.
So I was really disappointed that I did forget that morning to set my DVR for the game. Maybe actually, and I think it was because I'm used to them being on CBS and they changed it to Fox, because right. I remember going to CBS. I'm like, and then I kind of like forgot, but yeah. So, but I did watch the highlights. So I got to see the full cut of highlights that the Ravens production team put out.
So I'm bringing this up for a reason, because now that we look forward to the Miami game on Thursday, yeah. There's a lot of uncertainty of who will be the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins come Thursday. Now, if you watch this game on television, the broadcast team brought up the fact that so many of the Minnesota Vikings plays that were done, it was like, oh, this is this player's first sack. This is this player's first interception. This is the player's first time returning a ball for a touchdown. It was a lot of first times, a lot of like, oh, this guy has never done this in their career before. And the Ravens were allowing that to happen. Now that we look forward to the Dolphins and a lot of uncertainty at quarterback, I don't want to see that again with a backup QB with the Dolphins that we really don't know what to expect from. So going forward, what do you think that the Ravens are doing this week to prepare for Tua Tagovailoa or his backup QB, who we might see instead? Tua, both teams on Monday and Tuesday kind of had like walkthrough practices. They weren't full practices. So you really got to take like injury reports with like a grain of salt. But what are you expecting this Ravens team to do? Are they really preparing for two separate quarterbacks, or are they think they kind of leaning one way or the other?
I think you kind of prepare for Tua and then see what happens. I mean, Jacoby Brissett's his backup. I feel like obviously, you know, the Ravens have seen Jacoby before. I don't think they've seen Tua, but it's like kind of like, it's almost like, can they go request the services of their brother down in Maryland, who's quarterbacking the Maryland Terrapins right now? You know, obviously cares is they're siblings and he's Tagovailoa, but it's like, I don't know. I haven't watched enough of side-by-side comparison to know if his brother's similar to the one in Miami, but it's kind of like, hey, why don't you go down to turf practice and maybe the Ravens defense can go against the Terps offense, see what happens. But right. Totally two different skill sets, I'm sure, with being brothers. But besides the point, I think it's this. You hope for the, you prepare. I'm going to do a spin on the cliche. You know how the cliche is hope for the best or prepare for the worst. I'm going to say prepare for the best and then see what happens kind of deal. Like, you know, I think they got to prepare for Tua. I would love to know what goes in preparation for that. And I know Harbaugh was asked about it. They had the press conference late last night because they have walkthroughs because this week's kind of condensed with the traveling and playing Thursday. Cause I actually got a notification. I'm like, why is the Ravens press conference on Monday evening before Monday football? I'm like, oh, duh. They probably just got done practicing or walkthrough. And that's what Coates alluded to. So, and he was asked right off the bat the same thing. And I'm kind of going to echo a little bit what Harbaugh said, take some nuggets from his press conference saying the same thing. You know, you got to prepare for Tua, but understand that there'd be a possibility he can't play. And you got to understand what Jacoby Brissett scouting report is and kind of keeping tabs on that. Same thing, I guess, in baseball, right? You know, get a scouting report on pitcher, starting pitcher, maybe a game time decision, but you kind of got to know what Jacoby Brissett's tendencies are and maybe go back and, I'm sure the team perhaps watched a little bit of film of both quarterbacks under center for the Dolphins saying, okay, well, the offense does this when he's under center. And then when this guy's under center, they kind of do this. It's totally different skill sets. But at the same time, they're all professionals. And I'm sure they got a preparation preparation attack prepared for both sets of quarterbacks and their styles, no matter who's under center. But yeah, we'll see him. We'll see what happens when they come out. I mean, looking at the roster up and down, I mean, you know, their record, you know, I thought they were going to come on this year, and their record's a little bit disappointing from what I've seen. But, you know, Myles Gaskin's not a slouch. I mean, they still got to stop the running game there. We know what Jalen Waddle is another rookie receiver they have to look out for. I mean, Jamar Chase gave him problems. Justin Jefferson's the second year. So these new receivers in the NFL, it's the first time they're going to get a glance at Jalen Waddle. So to me, he's going to be the key of the Miami Dolphins offense to stop. If especially we just talked about the big plays, if they can stop Myles Gaskin and Jalen Waddle, no matter who's throwing at quarterback, and then we understand they got Mike Gesicki as a tight end, so they got some playmakers. We're going to see what happens with that. So I think the Ravens really neutralize that in the big plays. Really going to get after it, and really I want to see how the scheme against what the Ravens offense does with pass blocking with. The front line for the Dolphins. You know, they could probably cook up a scheme to stop them. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes. You can certainly look at records wise and say, oh, this might be a blowout. Don't know. And again, we alluded to it and we just saw this past weekend, week to week in the NFL, man. You just don't know. You don't want to discount this team, especially getting a mini bye week and preparing for a trip to Soldier Field in Chicago. We know how bad the Bears are and we know the Steelers, let them hang around and let them come back in the game. Watching that game, of course, Monday Night Football, we know Steelers pulled that out. As much as we love to hate them, it just sucked to see them win. But, you know, the Bears were just got awful. They couldn't get anything going on offense, no pass blocking. Fields is running for his life, and certainly we'll cover that in a couple weeks and going to that matchup. But just looking at Miami, you just can't overlook them. It's a short week. It's concerning, but the Ravens have had very much success. Miami as recently as 2019, Lamar's, first full season, his debut, remember, perfect pass rating, 5 touchdowns. We know what happened there in week 1 of 2019 and the MVP season to start it off. So can't wait to see what's in store. And then another X factor, as we know, Miami. Why Brown, his nickname is Hollywood. It's Broward County boys. You know, Lamar and Hollywood, a lot of probably friends and family are going to be present for the game. And I already know a lot of Ravens flock who's making a trip. I thought about it to go to South Beach. I'm not going this year. it's going to be great. And to get a Thursday night primetime game, I think the Ravens, I think they can certainly be focusing up to get the job done and definitely win decisively with no contest. Like you said, you want your heart to relax. I personally am going to, I'm going to stop short saying guaranteeing because I want to come after me if it's wrong, but I really feel good about the Ravens' chances of not making this close. And I feel like we actually might see Lamar sit and maybe even see a Tyler Huntley signing in the fourth quarter as we did the last time. How's that? I would like to see something of that nature where it's a good, like 35-10 lead, 10 minutes to go in a game. Dolphins can't do anything. And we're like, here we go. Got our seventh win and we can relax on a Thursday night and have a good weekend towards that. And not only that, but it's going to be great. Ravens are playing on Veterans Day this year. Shout out to all who have served and those who have served. And just, you know, we appreciate that. And it's going to be just a great celebration. Obviously, the Dolphins will be doing their salute to service festivities as the Ravens just did this past weekend with a great ceremony and flyover and the flag on the field. So it's going to be great. Looking forward to it. But I certainly think with the Ravens, and I don't even think travel's a factor. Short week, we get it. But looking at that, they can get some people back. I did hear whispers that big old Ben Cleveland was activated to practice and heard Nick Boyle could be called up. I'm not sure as far as availability. We'll see what happens between recording the podcast and the injury report and who's elevated and who's active, but there might be a possibility we can see Nick Boyle and or Ben Cleveland either in this game or definitely the next game. So we're getting some players back.
Nick Boyle has been activated to the 53-man roster. I would assume that he would be coming back. And if you remember...
And that would help pass blocking.
100%. But a couple weeks ago, your boy said, when are we going to see Nick Boyle? And your boy said, probably against Miami. So, boom, called that one. That's what we're going to see, I think, on Thursday night, which I kind of feel a little bit bad for Tomlinson because he was the fill-in for about a year now for Nick Boyle. But we really hadn't heard from him.
And he caught a ball on Sunday.
That was his first play.
You know what was funny? Someone, I laughed. He caught the ball and someone goes, Oliver. And I turn around. I was like, wrong guy, same position, we're wrong guy. And I said it under my breath. I'm like, 85 and 84. Get it right. But I'm like, I get it because no one knew who Tomlinson was.
Right.
And yeah, I get it. Right. It's funny. It's always like, again, when a tight end catches the ball, you automatically thought Heap, like, oh, he caught it or whoever wore 86 for the Ravens. I'm like, that's Heap. Like, we just always joke about that, but I thought it was pretty funny. Someone behind me go, Oliver. I laughed. I'm like, no, it's Tomlinson. But hey, Tomlinson, and that's another thing as you allude to, is they had to reach deep down the barrel because obviously being Mark Andrews is the solid guy going forward. But Nick Boyle's coming back. We're excited to hear that. He's been very known for his blocking abilities, and we need that. So see what happens coming forward with him being active and available on Thursday.
All right, so I think both of us are predicting a Ravens win. I'm going to
say... So is Max. He's growling.
Yeah, Max knows. He knows. Maximus knows. He knows the Ravens are going to win this one. I'm gonna
I don't
think,
know if you hear him or not.
I'm going to say the Ravens are going to be winning this game 42-27.
Are you serious? Okay, so you really don't want a heart problem.
That's right.
You're like,
yeah.
No. You're like, I want to relax, enjoy my weekend.
I got to go to work.
And we can, celebrate a victory on Purple Friday.
That's right. I got to go into work on Friday. I don't want to be up all night and watching this game into the wee early morning hours. I want to prepare for AEW Full Gear weekend as well. You know, I got things to do. 42-27. That's my guess.
I like it. 42. You said 42-22 or 27?
27.
42-27. Wow. Okay. 42 points. Really, really being ambitious tonight. All right. I'm going to scale back down a little bit, but I certainly think it's going to be a blowout. I'm actually going to predict a score that I mentioned earlier in the game or earlier in the show. 35-10 Ravens.
35-10. Okay. So you're thinking the defense is really going to have a good show in this game.
Yeah. I understand they gave up 30 points on Sunday. You're right. And speaking of that, 10 points is, you're right, Josh. You just called me out. You're like, oh, Ravens defense has been, you just talked about the worries with the big plays, but I'm not discrediting. I don't want to disrespect the offense and capability of what the Dolphins can do, but let's understand. This isn't the same playmakers that we just played with the Bengals and the Vikings the last 2 weeks. I understand Jalen Waddle is a playmaker. He's a rookie who's getting it done, but it also depends on another center. But I think with, you know, the Ravens' ability, I think the offense is going to score a touchdown early, and then they're going to get three the rest of the way. Maybe even be generous and maybe change the score to 35-17. I actually might change it now. Just talking to you about that. You're like, man, they got me. You pick me. As soon as you call me out, like, you're going to give them 10 points. Man, it's generous. Yeah, I'm actually going to go it up a bit, 35-17, but I would laugh if it is 35-10. I'll be like, ha, they only score 10 or 13 points, even if it's in between and they score 13, kind of split the difference a little bit. But I'd be like, ha. But yeah, I just think, I think the Ravens offense is certainly going to get it done. I think 30 points is definitely within the reach, definitely within the capabilities of what they can produce. The question is, you know, what is the defense going to do in eliminating that? And like to see Lamar not take any sacks, you know, really force the errors there. Cause I think he got frustrated a little bit with that one interception, you know, forcing the ball in there because of the pressure. So we'll see what happens. You know, we're both predicting some good wins for our team here and, relaxing Thursday night to enjoy another primetime installment before they get it after again at home in a few weeks. And they get the mini bye and we could enjoy the rest of our weekend, you know, and watch the NFL slate of games on Sunday. And Ravens are kicking off week 10 a couple of days from now. It's going to be awesome. That's why I love Thursday games. You know, there's like the delay. It's like Ravens just played a game on Sunday and we're back at it in two more sleeps. I love it.
I know. This is crazy. I mean, we're recording this on Tuesday night. I'm like, man, the Ravens play in 2 days. Like, it's. Yep.
Absolutely. It's going to be great. Can't wait.
Yeah. All right, Josh. Well, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
Absolutely, man. Quote the Raven, never murmur.
All right, well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, which, by the way, let me bring this tweet up. I have to bring this up. This is a pretty historical tweet that I had just the other day. I'm a big fan of the retweets, so this is what I did. Did you guys realize, if my tweets would like to load, that'd be nice, What day was it? 2 days ago, so on November 7th, 18 years ago, Elf was released in theaters. 18 years ago.
I'm old because I love that movie.
I saw that movie opening night.
That movie is 18 years old. Brandon, stop it. I'm going to come slap you, dude. No. That movie is not 18 years old.
Think about that. Because like, that's I always say, oh, that's a modern day classic.
That's half my life,
no.
Man.
No, that's a legit classic now at 18 years. That's not a modern day classic. That's just a classic now.
Elf came 18 years ago. You sit on the throne of lies. Even though I know you're telling the truth, guys, I just looked it up. Not to say you were kidding, but I'm like, wow, 18 years. Oh my gosh.
You smell of beef and cheese.
It's one of my favorite Christmas movies, by the way. Between Home Alone. I mean, they're right on the list. Like, I watched Home Alone in succession, and then watched that, like, literally right behind it. Like, Home Alone 1 and 2, and then that are my top three comedies for Chris. And then you have to throw Jingle all the way there. You have to.
Are you going to watch the new Home Alone?
I probably will, because even though the third one was pretty bad, I guess I can't help myself. I got to check it out. But I feel like it's, like, really, it's just going to be the same thing. Like, a kid trying to stop criminals with these god-awful skits and schemes, and it's just like, really? Like, I'll probably watch it and just be like, hopefully not cringing during it, but I might give it a whirl.
I mean, I love Elf. It's one of my top five favorite Christmas movies, but there's a lot of people that hate that movie, and I don't get it. I don't understand the hate on Elf.
It's their loss. It's their loss, bro. Can't help it.
I know Will Ferrell is like not everybody's cup of tea, but
that's probably what it is.
But
he's got to be in the mood for his comedy, yeah.
Yeah, but his brand of comedy is perfect for that role. Like, he's an elf. He's a perfect elf, but whatever. It's fine. I enjoy it, but it came out 18 years ago on November 7th.
18 years ago. Oh,
yeah.
Man, that's half my life ago. That's terrible. Yeah.
Think about that. Well, anyway, so that's a little. You can tell me if you like Elf or not at Brando Cash on Twitter. That's where you can let me know. But Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At Always Italian GQ52. 18 years. I second. Wow.
Yeah, I know. I feel you. Now go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know, and we're always sharing all kinds of funny pictures or stats or anything that we find hilarious or interesting. We will pass it on to you guys on our Facebook page. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thursday Night Football, under the lights. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, man, thank you for another installment. We're ready for primetime game. What is it? Primetime game number three,
Four?
Put back on the schedule. Four. When Monday night, then Sunday night, then another Monday night game. This is number four Thursday night. So they got all the nights
crazy.
Yeah. And then we have number five coming up at the end of the month for Sunday Night Football against the Browns at home. But let's get through the last couple games here. We got the Dolphins next installment here on Thursday night. Can't wait, man. You know, NFL Network's got the coverage, and I'm sure we can find it on other avenues. If you don't have the network, it's going to be another great game. And you know, Ravens got it before. You know, their seventh win is staring them right in the face. Bills, they're you can call it what it is, inferior team. And what makes superior teams is they take care of business against these teams. And let's show the AFC teams like the Bills and the Raiders and the Bengals too, what they're about, especially the Titans. I don't care if the Titans did impress us with the win against the Rams. They just still lost to the Jets. And we know that that was won by defense, and Adrian Peterson's on the team now, filling in for the King, Derrick Henry. But besides the point, this is a perfect opportunity to do what you do best when you're a top dog in a playoff race and a division leader going into the double digits in week 10 of the NFL. Man, half the season's already gone. Can't believe it. The Ravens do kick off week 10 under the lights in Miami, South Beach, Thursday Night Football. Cannot wait for all the flock descending upon South Beach in Miami. Have a great time. Enjoy some Florida weather, sunshine. Hopefully it doesn't rain. You can enjoy the beaches, the festivities, and best of all, some good old-fashioned Ravens football. Let's root hard for a win. South Beach ready, party. Baltimore Ravens with a purple victory, one hand. Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.